Does anybody read anymore? Is there even a reason to read? Is reading even fun? Is it going to be lost? Are we just going to listen to things on podcasts and never read again? Children won't read unless someone teaches them the value of reading. Teach your child to read.
You're listening to Parenting on Purpose with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J, and we're going down this list of 30 imperatives to parenting, 30 things to keep in mind, but also to teach your children so they can grow up to be marriageable and employable and, well, hopefully overall really good adults. But today, talking about reading, something that was enjoyable years ago with my stepkids, and all of a sudden they turn into teenagers, and it's just not cool anymore.
It's difficult. And as we look at the parenting imperatives, we're going to look today at really imperative number 20 and 21 because they're linked. And 20 is the word read, and 21 is read them the word. But as we look at this, we wonder kind of why people go to church and want someone else to read the Bible to them and then don't go home and read. And it's kind of linked to why people don't read anything anymore. In fact, can I just put it in my ears while I'm at LA Fitness? Not that I would personally know anything about a fitness center, but all those different things. And I think somebody asked me actually, your kids are voracious readers. Why do they read so much? And I said, my kids read, whether it's page on, you know, actual paper or Kindle, which we're all on Kindle now, but they read because they were taught to read. They read because reading was fun. They read because we would have a reading night where
it's
we would actually
read.
It is unheard of.
I'm blown away because.
And we would make it high-end, exciting books. And just we would have a night where we would read, and it wouldn't be a whole night. We'd have popcorn, and Rosemary would read, or I would read. She would usually make me read because my mind drifts if I don't read. And we'd make it read books that were exciting to them. But we also read some of the fun books. Narnia, we read all the Narnia books to the kids out loud.
How did you do? Like everyone has a copy and then?
Nope. We'd just sit in the family. Sit in the family room and I'd read out loud and we'd talk about it and we'd laugh about it and make some kind of statement about it. And when they got a little older, we actually would go on vacation with nothing but books. And we'd play and do stuff in the evening. We'd make outrageous hors d'oeuvres and food and stupid sweet things and just read. And we would read because we wanted to give our children a love of reading. And it just so happens our kids have married readers. My son-in-law, Tori's husband, huge reader. And because he was a huge reader growing up, it was part of his family's DNA. I think it's hard to do initially. And I think it's hard to, the easiest thing is if you have young children, your children are a little older and it's harder to break in, but it's worthy to break in because you meet people today who've actually never read a book. Now, let me say, I had never read a book till college, ever. And when I arrived, never. Not one book.
Come on.
Never. None. Nada.
And you read like a million books a week.
I read a lot of books. A million would be an exaggeration, but I read a lot of books. I probably read one or two a week. But I arrived at college a non-reader, and I remember going to the bookstore my beginning of college and realizing we're buying books for college. This is a nightmare. And trying to figure out how to do this. Oh, it took me longer to study than anybody. But it was Rosemary, I guess my junior year, her sophomore year, she had led me to Christ, and she just had books. She had books beyond the books for school. Mm-hmm. And she bought me Truman Capote's In Cold Blood, which I realized books are cool. Mm-hmm. And she bought me the Trilogy of the Rings. And she bought me On the Beach, Neville Schultz, On the Beach, The End of the World books. And I actually realized, wow, I can't believe how cool books are. And one of the reasons I couldn't wait to get out of graduate school is get back to reading books I want to read anymore. But I think that there's a phrase, and it's a true phrase, leaders are readers and readers are leaders. And I think people ask, you know, where do you get all the illustrations for when you speak? And it's from books. It's from reading and letting God kindle those things in your head to be able to do that. But I knew it was important for my kids to make them readers. So we actually had reading nights. And we actually also bought them their own magazines. You know, Focus on the Family has magazines targeting each gender, each age group, and we get them their own magazines. One of mine is a more voracious reader than the other. Tori is an incredible reader, more than all of us. She and her husband read more than all of us put together. Roby, my son, is a huge reader, but just putting them in scenarios where we're doing this and then asking them about what they're reading and all of a sudden jumping in and realizing, wow, that's really cool. Well, read your book out loud. When we launched to our own books and read your book out loud, and I'll never forget walking by Tori's bedroom one night, and we especially Tori, story, she was using Blackaby as her devotional to read before she went to bed at night, knowing God, and sitting on the floor saying, are you reading Blackaby? Yes. Well, read me tonight's Blackaby or today's Blackaby. And she read it. And it was great. And I was using another devotional called Oswald Chambers, My Utmost for His Highest. But what I did is I went and bought a Blackaby for me. And I think some of it I did because she did it and some of it I did because it was great. And so that she and I could be reading the same Blackaby, one page, take our notes, talk to each other just to affirm her reading. And we let our kids actually stay up a little later at night if they wanted to read. But I know this. I know that it's very hard to be a leader if you're not a reader. And it's very hard to grow if I'm not able to do that. So I wanted to teach my children the fun and the value of reading.
It's like you can't lead well unless you know really what's going on outside of your circle, outside of your leadership ability. And that comes from reading and listening and learning.
Well, reading actually just absolutely explodes your imagination. When all the imagination is done for you in movies and DVDs.
That's not even imagination,
it's
really.
It's not. And the Dragon books by this little homeschool boy, and the next one just came out today. The fourth one, which is absolutely awesome, that I'm losing the name of the books. I can't remember the name of the books, but the books that came out by this 14 or 15 year old that became world bestsellers.
Wow.
And then they did the movie 3 years ago, and it just wasn't the movie for all of us. We all hated the movie. And it was kind of like the Trilogy of the Rings movies were great, but they weren't total for me. They were close as I've seen. But the reading and in your mind and all the stuff, I wanted my children to own that. I wanted them to have these mind expansions. Mm-hmm. And I wanted them to gain a love for C.S. Lewis and some of the really great writers.
But you really have to believe that, because if you're not a reader, then you just say, well, just watch the movie. You don't even know what you're missing, and you get the bulk of it.
Get the cliff notes, absolutely. And you miss the expansion that God wants to do in your brain, because the reading of that expands your mind to take in the reading, I believe, of the word, and vice versa. The reading of the word changes your life, but it's really hard. Then the narratives, you miss the fun of the narratives of Joseph in prison and how did he do that for 2.5 years plus. And because you've read other books, you just get a picture of all of those things. And so the combination of teaching them to a love for books and then teaching them a love for the Bible means we have to read it with them. And we have to read, I believe, also other books to expand them, imagining this prison scene in Count of Monte Cristo and then the prison scene of Joseph, which is just amazing. But you're right, you have to be committed to it. What's happened is we've been committed to subcontracting our children out.
Yeah, well, YouTube does a good job sometimes.
YouTube does, and youth group does, and soccer does, and this does, and that does, and dropping them off at whatever. And we subcontract them out, but we're subcontracting out activity rather than mind expansion and growing in imagination. And so we decided early on that we were going to read to our children very early on. And we decided that was going to be a part of our DNA. And we decided there would be reading nights. And we decided that whether we wanted to really hear what their book, because they're 12 years old and their book was horrible, whatever this Christian novel series was and for girls. And we'd say, read it out loud, Tori. And I know Roby's looking at us saying, you guys like this, right? And and just listening to it and investing in affirming them in what they were doing. But that began, I think, opening to reading them the word. And we did that. And we did that predominantly at the breakfast table. And I did that most of the time. And I got all jacked over what we were reading.
Did you go verse by verse type thing?
I started in the Gospel of John. When they were little, we had a devotional targeting them teeny.
Okay.
When they went off to school, we moved on to the Gospel of John in a modern translation. And I'd read starting John 1:1, and I'd read 5 or 6 or 7 verses while they're eating breakfast. And I would be very excited and very animated.
And
they couldn't care less. I would always ask if they had any questions. And no one ever had a question in their whole life about what we read. And no one got excited about it. But I didn't realize till later on, years later on, really listening to them respond back over some of the things we read, that they're getting it.
I think we read Our Daily Bread around the table, and I remember never liking it. We had a language issue too. My dad doing it in Spanish, us preferring English and all that.
So why do you think your dad did it in Spanish?
Because he speaks Spanish and he wanted to do it. And so
he wanted to do it.
And then
Spanish,
my mom would sort of kind of mix it up and throw out the translation a little bit for us so we can grasp it. But it was never an exciting
event. He was also teaching you Spanish. I mean, how cool is that? That's incredibly cool. Rosemary's parents did it in Japanese.
Wow, that's cool.
Because that was their language. They grew up in Japan. Mm-hmm. And she never came back to the States, I don't think, till she was 12.
Oh, wow.
And so I think that's wonderful. I think that's a combination of lessons all combined. This whole thing called reading is tedious at first. And the whole reading process is tedious at first. And because some parents blow it out the door, they really deny their children the opportunity to grow academically and intellectually, mm-hmm. other than just emotionally. And as far as just their whole imagination. I mean, I remember when I discovered reading and this On the Beach Neville Schutt took place, his book took place at the end of the world, the nuclear, radioactivity was coming and Australia was the last continent. I got to explore Australia, reading the Charlie Chan series, which I had to catch up. I got to see what Hawaii was like because he lived in Hawaii. And so, it didn't cost you any money thing to do mm-hmm. when I would be in the dorm or in my apartment and reading one Charlie Chan after another and just seeing what Hawaii was like and wondering, wow, I would love to go to Hawaii. This is really cool. Him talking about his detective practice in Hawaii. It was, for me, it took me places, and it can still take kids places rather than have a camera take kids places. But that's not even the reason. If I don't learn how to read, it's going to be very hard for me to get into the Word of God,
yeah.
Which is even harder to read. If I don't learn how to read, it's going to be very hard for me to expand myself in my work and my profession. If I don't know how to read, I'm going to be so limited at the intake of knowledge.
Mm-hmm. And reading is the kind of thing where it sort of piles up for your good. Like eating a meal is not going to change your entire life. Well, reading one book may or may not really change your entire life, or maybe reading one verse, you don't see the instant change in your child. But I think over time, because I look back at those devotional times with the family, and I can't tell you even one lesson back then, but I know that it all contributed to something good. And you could probably speak to that.
Kids are all in the ministry today.
It's like eating food. You can't tell the growth is happening, but it's happening
but
somewhere.
One little molecule of your body at a time, and one little spiritual growth of you at a time, and one little learning how to do this, and learning how to appreciate reading, and learning how to enjoy reading, because my parents don't hand me a book. They are with the book with me. And just all of a sudden, my world opening up and thinking. We were in staff Bible study here. We have staff Bible study here every Thursday for all the staff come in from all the campuses. And listening to Adam, my son-in-law, quote a C.S. Lewis passage that was perfect for the Bible study. Mm. And somebody said to me afterwards, wow, how does he do that? And I said, well, his parents just taught him the love of books. And he just grew up loving to read. Loving to read. I mean, he was an excellent professional snow skier, but he also loved reading, and they just connected
snow
it all.
Snow skiing, reading.
Well, there were times you're not going out the door in Taos, New Mexico.
What do you do?
And they got him into that. We're watching it in a movie. I mean, how many movies have I seen? Papillon, that takes place on Devil's Island. The movie was fine, but the book was incredible. And choosing that to expand me, but it's also prepare me, because it does pile up. You learn to learn to learn. Learn when you learn to love books.
So what's your one last encouragement for families who would rather watch the movie than read the book?
Well, I think any child and parent would be lazy and rather have somebody else do all the work. But the problem is when the movie's done, the movie's done. When the book is happening, I'm learning the process. I'm learning delayed gratification one chapter at a time. We would stop and talk about the chapter and hear different impressions. We would learn how to express ourselves. And we would learn that, you know what, book reports aren't really about the book. They're learning how to process the material.
Mm-hmm.
And so when it became part of our DNA and watching my children, if you want to read the book, I'll buy the book. I won't buy you the next book till you finish that book. And watching their bookshelves start to fill up with books, it was more than worthy of the exercise, because they are all leaders today. They all have a love for reading today. Yes, I am the only one in our household who's still turning paper. I do have a Kindle, but there are some books I still like to turn paper.
There's something about touching
and
the pages.
Watching
them
all get together with their little devices, and I own one.
Oh, wow.
And my son hooked me by getting the CIA series on my Kindle that I can't let go of, the Vince Flynn series. It's beyond comprehension. But watching this love of book in leaders, and watching my 30-somethings become leaders, and guaranteeing now, I watched my daughter with my grandchild reading books to that 2.5-year-old. So he has a love of books and he has a love to turn the papers. He will be a leader, because leaders are readers.
You're listening to Parenting on Purpose with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries as we go down this list of 30 imperatives of parenting. And today covering two of those points, number 20, reading, and number 21, reading them the word. word. And if you missed any part of today's program or any of the list, you can hear all of them online for free at parentingonpurpose.org. You can even do a search for more in-depth discussion on some of these individual points. I'm your host, Ruthie J, and if you want to find out more about Dr. Bob Barnes and his resources, all the proceeds go to Help the Children's Homes at Sheridan House Family Ministries. Go online to shfm.org. You can support the ministry there or support with a two-letter text that will send a one-time $10 donation. Just text the letters SH and send it to 41518. We hope you'll join us tomorrow as we keep going down this list of the 30 imperatives to parenting here on Parenting on Purpose.